This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, good morning. Welcome into the show. Happy Friday. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. You know who's awesome? Kurt Helin's awesome. Basketball guru, basketball talk, NBC Sports, the mayor of Long Beach. Not actually elected mayor, just sort of culturally, right? Reputationally. And right now the guest on this here radio show, Writer Than You. Hello, Mr. Helin.
I think Snoop still has the honorary mayor title in Long Beach. Sure. I mean, I'm almost as popular as him. Don't get me wrong, but I think he's a little more popular and may have smoked more in his life than I have.
I thought he abdicated when he moved to the beach to sell beers down, like, on an island somewhere.
Yeah, him and Bad Bunny are just down there.
All right, so here's what I got. I got a weird question for you. I have a nostalgic question for you. I've got a judgy question for you, and I've got a hot take NBA question for you. Just choose your own adventure. Which one do you want first?
I'm not going to. Let's start with nostalgia. Let's ease into this.
Yeah, this stuff gets. The problem is when I really like you and Sam Amick and Howard Beck, I ask just weird questions. The other day, I asked Howard Beck a question that I'm going to ask you, and he went, then he answered it. All right, nostalgic.
The funny thing is, I know Howard. Do you know Howard? I can actually picture him saying, like, I can picture the face that came with that noise.
I'm so amused by the whole, like, I love poking the bear. That is Howard Beck. I find it, whether it's over beers, there's the two of us, or on the radio. All right, here's my nostalgic question. I saw it last night. On a scale of 1 to 10, to what degree are you excited or nonplussed, as the case may be, about seeing Top Gun Maverick?
6.5, 7.
Okay.
I'm not really over the moon about it. Part of it is, and again, this, you and I know this. This time of year, I'm like, I should be pumped about the Thor movie too. I'm like, I'm not going to see the light of day until after Summer League. But I'm interested. I find that those kind of movies often end up disappointing me. My expectation is that I'm not going to like it.
And then, Kurt Helin, I must
surprise.
I probably don't work as hard as you because yesterday I picked my son got off early, and I like carved out 4 hours from my day, and told work like, "Hey, I'm not free," and I went, and it was I'm just to tell you it was amazing, pal. It was
amazing.
And I thought I was gonna be bad. It was great.
Okay. Well, now you're raising the expectation bar, which is just gonna lead to disappointment. I will text you after I see it and tell you how much I hate you for that.
All right, here's the judgy question. Maybe it just means I'm old. I don't know. How much should I judge my film producer, Kevin Wall, that he's never seen The Godfather because it's 3 hours long?
That is, you know what, it's such a generational thing where the idea of a long, slow-ish, I mean, it's got a lot of, I don't know, it's kind of like Mad Men. The action is there, but it's not action in a obvious sense, and it just seems lost sometimes on this. I don't know. You should be very judgy. It is still one of the five greatest movies ever. I mean, minimum, right? Like The Godfather and frankly Godfather 2 as a unit are just brilliant filmmaking, great storytelling, great characters, great acting, great everything. It's just, yeah, you can be judgy. Go judge.
All right, now you can judge me. Are UFOs and alien life real?
No.
Really?
You know what? Here's the cynical take, Neil deGrasse Tyson take. I have no doubt that there are other life forms in the universe, but the ability to traverse the space between worlds in a cosmos we vastly underestimate how vast it is. That was a horrible sentence, but we wildly underestimate just how far and how hard it is to get between planets. That I'm not saying that the life doesn't exist, that thoughtful, competent, more advanced life than us doesn't exist, but getting here and circling our world, not that easy. So I don't believe in it, really.
Kurt Heelan here on the show answering three questions that he wouldn't answer anywhere else in his entire lifetime. If all he did was radio hits on Sports Talk Radio for the rest of his life. All right, here's my hot take, and I actually hate the term hot take. I hate it. I think people use it when you just have a disagreement. Let me ask you this question. This is the one that made Howard Beck sigh loudly, and I'm going to try to ask it more diplomatically. But would you agree that the Warriors are likely, it's not guaranteed, but obviously likely to win an NBA championship this year? Obviously.
No.
You disagree.
I don't. But are you going? Likely is the word.
Obviously, this. It's reasonable. Golden State's going to win another championship this year.
Yeah, reasonable, yes. Possible, yes. I think people are selling out or selling short how good Boston's defense is. How much tougher it has been to come through that way. I think, and if you go back to their last meeting in March. Boston's defense caused problems for Golden State. They are the one team that can cause problems to their offense. I still think it's a close series. I think it's a 6 or 7 game series. I will probably pick the Warriors. I haven't really time diving into it yet, but I think it's very possible Boston wins this thing. Like, I don't think that's
I love that
some
take.
Unreasonable thing either. I think this is a much more even series than people realize. We want to believe still that this is the pre-COVID, you know, pre-pandemic, even maybe pre-Durant, unstoppable force Warriors, and I don't think they are. I don't think they're that. They're good. They deserve to be here, but I don't think they're that good, and I think this Boston team can challenge them.
All right, so I think we're on the same page, which is it's not unreasonable to think that Steph Curry could wake up on, whatever, June 22nd and have a fourth ring. Not a guarantee, but it's not unreasonable.
Yeah.
If that happens, if Steph Curry and the Warriors win an NBA championship in the next 2 or 3 or 4 weeks, and they enter, which they will, next season as, you know, the favorites again or near the favorites, how much space will there be in the legacies between LeBron James and Steph Curry, potentially, when each of them retire?
Ooh. I still think that there's not going to be a ton of space there, but I think that there is still a gap there. I think LeBron is more, how should I, I'm trying to think of put this. You can put LeBron in any, both of them to a degree, but LeBron in particular can lift any team in any style in any era much, much higher. He is such a rounded, complete player in a way that Curry is not. That I would say that LeBron's legacy still goes, like, he's still in the LeBron or MJ debate, right? Like, that conversation is still, you know, whichever side you fall on, it's still a conversation worth having. I still think Curry's a tier below that.
So if Steph Curry ends his career with 5 rings, and he's the best shooter of all time, and he only plays in Golden State, and they make 7 of 9 finals, you think it's still unreasonable to compare him as almost equals, or even like Magic to Bird, right, wherever you come down in that debate, I think we all agree that there's no daylight between them. Or that's normally the perspective. Even if LeBron, because I get it, LeBron's going to be the all-time leading scorer. He's amazing. But for me, the intangible reality of Steph Curry's ability to turn people around him. Here's what I said earlier, Kurt. You agree or disagree? I love your view. LeBron can clearly carry a bunch of bums when he has to, remarkably deep. Like what he did with that Cavs team when Love was hurt and Kyrie got hurt in the finals, if I remember right, is amazing, right? And what but Steph actually takes guys that we might misconstrue as bums and turns them into. I mean, look at Andrew Wiggins. I think that Steph doesn't get the credit he deserves for his movement off the ball and the gravitational force that you have to, just the space he creates on the floor. Yeah. And I think this is a real thing, the dynamic he creates in that culture, in that locker room, that allows guys to become the best version of themselves.
See, the last thing was the thing that I was thinking in my head when you were talking was, as much as we can discuss the basketball skills, which he, you know, again, greatest shooter ever, and the wisdom of Steve Kerr to build a system around that gravity that just is impossible to defend, his conditioning, his off-ball movement, which, you know, again, LeBron's in pretty good shape. Like, you know, like we're talking about splitting hairs between elite players. But I think what Curry's ability, like you said, to change that, that Warriors culture is Curry culture. And that's part of why Kevin Durant, I don't think, was ever completely comfortable there, or at least grew weary of it, because it wasn't Kevin Durant. You know, like, Kevin Durant wants to be the culture setter and has earned said right. But that culture lifts Andrew Wiggins up. It lifts it allows room for the Jordan Pools to thrive where they may not in other circumstances. And I think that that's maybe the biggest part of his legacy, that he's much more Tim Duncan than LeBron James, if that makes sense. Like, hey, I'm going to make this work with the guys you give me, and we're going to lift guys up, and we're going to make the whole thing fit. And it doesn't, you know, Popovich gets the credit in San Antonio for that culture, but it doesn't work if Tim Duncan's not the nicest, most amiable superstar we've ever seen.
It is amazing. I mean, you're right. Kurt Heelan here on the show. And by the way, I think they're both amazing. And the right perspective is probably LeBron is 1-2 and Steph is 3-6, which is still a pretty, I think, aggressive historical perspective. But it is my perspective. I think that's where I come down. It's an if. The Celtics could easily beat the Warriors, and the wheels could come off, and Steph could be at 3 for the rest of his life, too. It ain't easy to win these things.
No, and I like I said, I don't think the gap between the Warriors and the Celtics is all that great because of how well Boston defends and the versatility of that defense. That said, they need to end this thing tonight, and they need to get Robert Williams and Marcus Smart healthy by next Thursday, or it doesn't matter, right? Like, if those guys aren't right, then they don't – going up against the Warriors, it's all hands on deck.
I mean, the Warriors should have won Game 4 against the Mavs, not in the sense that it's easy, but in the sense that – and last night's was huge. The Warriors were never losing 3 in a row, but to your point, Kurt, at this stage – you have to, every day, I think, is significantly impactful in who wins an NBA championship. Every day, extra day, you get to rest your team.
It is. They could have closed it out, but that's not. The Warriors never do that, man.
I know.
That was why I got lulled into not. You know, look, I was one of the guys who picked Dallas in this series, and it was that the Warriors had not fully executed in the first two rounds. They had not been the team. Frankly, that won Game 3, that said, hey, you know what, we're taking Game 3, we're going to go into Dallas and win this. They hadn't done that in the first two rounds. They played around with their food, that's a good Grizzlies team, and they're athletic, but they also mess around with them. They didn't take it seriously enough at points. And I was like, you can't do that to Dallas, you can't do that to Luka, but they didn't. I mean, they did in Game 4, but not until the series was decided. I wasn't sure they had that in them. They'll be fully focused come Game 1 next Thursday. And, hey, it's nice of the NBA to throw in a break and let guys get healthy. That's how crazy. You know, maybe we could try to find a way to do that in the middle of conference finals.
I'm with you. Kurt Heelan here on the show. By the way, Kurt, I got to admit something to you. I have a mea culpa, or at least an admission. You came on the radio show 3 or 4 weeks ago, and you used the term playing with their food in that series, and I have used it every day since then on TV and radio. Now, I've credited you several times. It's so good. I'm taking it. I'm using it.
I know I didn't invent it. I'm sure I stole it from someone. All great writers steal, unless you're, you know, Hemingway or something.
Hemingway probably.
Neither of us are Hemingway.
I've certainly not been confused for him on several levels. Kurt Heelan here on the show. All right, last one. So
I've tried to drink like him a few times, but I don't think on any other scale.
To be fair, I can't. You know what? There is one. I can drink like him. And my wife likes cats. And Hemingway had cats.
Oh, there you go. Now we're
look at that.
Two.
Two for two. I am Hemingway. Who knew? What a magical day this is for me. All right, so we always write teams off. We always overreact to the moment. I normally don't do that. The Heat looks so banged up. And I may be making excuses for them, by the way, because it's not like the Celtics didn't shut down Kevin Durant and make it really hard on Giannis. And obviously, like, have confounded the Heat in an extraordinary way. And to your point, maybe they'll do the same thing to the Warriors. All that said, what do you see in the Heat? Last question, and what is the likelihood and or path forward for Miami to win this game and then go back home and try to win another one?
Their path forward is, like you just said, I don't think it's really there, only because I don't think they were the better matchup. This was a tough matchup. I don't think they were the better team in this series because their half-court offense, even during the regular season when they were healthy, was middle of the pack. And so they were going to need to have their elite defense, get Kyle Lowry pushing him out in transition, get some easy buckets, then have bubble Jimmy Butler be able to lift them in the half court, and that would be enough because they're another elite defensive team. But, I mean, Kyle Lowry's not right. Jimmy Butler's not right. Tyler Hero's not playing. And without those guys, they just – hey, man, I love Gabe Vincent as much as anybody, but he is – they just cannot generate the half court offense they need to against a very locked-in Celtics team that knows what it wants to do. I can't see them winning this game tonight. I just don't know, barring some – I mean, Bam can have a big game, but who's the other guy, right? Like, who is going to step up and have the monster game for them? And I don't see it against this defense.
I mean, I don't know if he might have a monster game, but I'm thinking Max Strus might hit a shot at least.
That'd be nice. Oh. I mean, he went cold at just the wrong time. And this is a team, look, Boston makes you rush just a little bit, right? They're just long enough. I mean, Robert Williams is blocking corner threes.
I know it.
Flying into the frame and blocking corner threes. But all of that makes you rush your shot just a little. You're thinking, you're like, I'm open, but I don't have that much time. And it rushes it just a little, and it clanks off, and they just have not been able to find a rhythm against just the length and athleticism and kind of on-a-string defense that Boston has.
He is the assistant mayor of Long Beach behind his good friend Snoop, Kurt Heelan, NBC Sports. I'll see you in San Francisco, buddy. Thanks for being on.
I'll text you. I'll see you up there, man.
Let's do it, dude. Let's get a drink. Got Kurt Heelan here on the show. Yeah, it does feel like the series is over, but just when you think that, teams can surprise you. Kevin Wall's filling in today for D-Cell. He put together very strong buy or sell. Does he watch The Godfather? No. Has he ever seen a film that's longer than an hour and a half? He hasn't. Will he? Zero chance. This guy crushes buy or sell, and you're going to see that. You're going to experience it next here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Writer Than You on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, welcome back into the show. Everybody loves that. D-Cell plays it every other day. Everybody that fills in for D-Cell, like Kevin Wall, loves it. I wish I could remember why on God's beautiful green earth I said that at some point in the last 6 years. I can't. Don't know. So let's just change the subject and get right into buy or sell.
What side will Bill take on the biggest issues in the world of sports? It's time for today's edition of Buy or Sell on Writer Than You.
All right, Bill. So we opened up the show talking about the Golden State Warriors, and everyone knows about the dynasty. Winning three titles out of 4 years, and even being in the NBA Finals the year that they lost to Cleveland. We also know that there were a couple bumps in the road for Golden State in recent years due to specific injuries. And now they're back in the NBA Finals. My opinion, the best team in the league. And they're not going away, as you mentioned earlier in the show, for quite some time. So, Bill, buy or sell that if the Golden State Warriors win the NBA Finals, this would be their most impressive title.
I love this question so much. I love it. Almost started the show with it. We'll talk about this as a topic in the coming days. And I buy this baby.
Bye.
Yeah. Let's wall that up. I got to come up with a good pun for your name. I'll think of it and we can buy ourselves in a second. I don't have a pun for your name yet. Yes, I think it is. And we've had multiple people come on the show. Kurt Heelan, the most recent few minutes ago, who are smart and insightful and know their stuff, who have said several times, several people, this isn't the team of old. I agree to disagree. I think they are. These guys still won a bunch of games. They had injuries to key people throughout the season. They're the top defensive-rated team in the NBA. They have the best defense in the NBA. Now, the Celtics do since January 22nd. So, again, there's sort of hedging there. Steph Curry's in fine form. Andrew Wiggins looks like a star all of a sudden. Jordan Poole, we know, can be an offensive animal. Klay Thompson scored a bunch of points last night. I think not only are they in the same class as past teams, the fact that they've done this all these years later, in their 30s, post Kevin Durant, having given away the depth that was a part of life before KD, having been in some cap trouble. And by the way, I was wrong on this. Bob Myers, I apologize. You were right. I was wrong. That's why you're the GM, and I have a radio show called Righter Than You. Haha. The D'Angelo Russell trade that created the space that brought in Andrew Wiggins was a stroke of genius. The Jordan Poole, not even where they drafted him, but developing him, all of it has led to this improbable opportunity to win a title this year. Yes, it will be the most impressive of what will be the four of them, and counting if they get it done against Boston or maybe Miami starting next week.
Kind of feel bad for Mark Jackson, though, because I feel like this was the team
that... He sucks.
But this was sell his that. Team before Steve Kerr came
no,
in.
No, sell that. Push the sell button.
Kind of feel a little bad. A
why?
Little bit.
He didn't utilize...
Well,
he didn't utilize the talent around him.
Came on board, like the pieces were there. And I get it now that times are different 8 years later.
That's like, look, man, it's like feeling bad for a guy that loses to another guy at chess. The pieces were there for both of them. One guy's just better at it. He had the same pieces. And don't forget, there's reports out there that Mark Jackson wasn't exactly the world's most cuddly culture builder in his time at the end of the Warriors, allegedly making homophobic comments about people in the organization, talking smack about the front office, being divisive. Mark Jackson, I'm writing him down for bum of the week.
Well, you
just
know what?
Because.
It all worked out for Steve Kerr at the end of the day with that team.
Of course it did. Steve, look, I got buddies who are Warriors fans who think Steve Kerr's overrated. The guy unlocked the greatness of this team. Changed the NBA by seeing Steph Curry was there.
I love the guy. Mark. I really do. I really enjoy Steve Kerr. And what we saw this week with him, just that passion, that's why he's one of my favorite people.
He's amazing, dude. And he's a great guy, too.
But anyway, tonight will be Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals between the Boston Celtics and Miami Heat. Throughout the week, tons of fans, including myself, they've been calling this series boring. The Celtics currently lead the series, and they're playing at home tonight. And Miami, they have their issues right now. Jimmy Butler, we both agree that he's not the same player. We'll see what happens tonight. And I think once the season's over, he's gonna be in recovery for a couple months. But anyway, buy or sell, Bill, that the winner of this series between Boston and Miami, will they have a chance at all against the Golden State Warriors in the NBA Finals, or this is a lock for Golden State?
I'm buying the first part of that, right?
Buy.
Look, I don't think the Heat have a chance. I don't think the Heat are going to win the series. I'm with Kurt Hill. Now, I think it's more like a 30% chance. Obviously, Kurt thinks it's much higher. But I'm also open to the very real possibility of being shocked and surprised by the Boston Celtics because I thought they would beat the Nets. I did not think they would sweep and humiliate them. I did not think they were going to beat the Bucks. It wasn't an overwhelming surprise. And did I think they beat the Heat? Yeah, I did. Do I think they would confound them offensively to the point that Miami and their starters are getting outscored by Jason Tatum in individual Eastern Conference Finals games? No. So it's certainly possible. The Celtics are incredibly talented, and I think it will be a hell of a series.
Looking forward to it for sure. However, other news in the NBA that broke in the last 24 hours. New Orleans Pelicans, Zion Williamson. It's been cleared to return without any restrictions. Zion didn't play at all in the 2021 season due to his foot injury, and there have been rumors surrounding his future with the Pelicans. And let's be real, who wants to play in New Orleans in the NBA? If you're not the Saints, I don't think anyone cares. And with Zion Williamson being that A-list guy that everyone knows, that strategic player in the NBA, with Zion coming back for 2022 and 2023, buyers sell that Zion played his final game with the New Orleans Pelicans.
I will sell that. I think he'll get out there. But let me also just sell your shot at New Orleans. Push the sell button, bro. What do you mean, nobody? What's wrong with New Orleans? Why you got to slander New Orleans?
It looks like a beautiful... It's a bucket list for me to get to New Orleans.
You've never been there.
I've never been to New Orleans.
Then how do you know nobody wants to play there?
No one in the NBA. The Saints are different. The Saints have built that team, and they were They were a joke for, you know, before Sean Payton and Drew Brees came in.
I'm not sure why we're talking about the Saints. I got this right. Why wouldn't anyone want to play New Orleans? Why got to hate on New Orleans?
Just with the ownership in the front office, there's just a lot of red flags. If I'm a top NBA player, I mean, when was the last time the Pelicans signed a guy to a max extension deal and they were able to be championship contenders year after year after year? You haven't seen that in New Orleans.
When's the last time Sacramento was able to do that or Orlando was able to? I mean, it's not easy in small markets. I mean, let me ask you. Well, you probably have been
this year.
Yeah, Milwaukee got it done by drafting Giannis Antetokounmpo in a random spot, developing him an all-time player, and happening to have a guy who's willing to stick around. Memphis might be just as lucky with John Morant, but that is not easy to do. Look, I've been to all these cities. I've lived in some of these cities. I love, like, I'd hate the East Coast, West Coast, the rest of the country sucks. That's what I'm hearing from you, Kevin Wall. That's what I'm hearing from you. New Orleans is amazing. It's an amazing city. If Giannis were a Pelican, or if John Morant were a Pelican, if you got a particular kind of guy that's willing to stay, they'd stay. Chris Paul is about Chris Paul. Anthony Davis is about Anthony Davis. That's fine. You want to live in big cities? That's cool. I left Iowa to live in L.A. and then New York. I'm not judging. But what's with the New Orleans? What did they ever do to you? Do you have an ex-girlfriend from New Orleans? She broke your heart?
Not as far as I'm concerned about.
Made you sing the blues?
No, like I said, New Orleans is a bucket list. I haven't seen it yet. So when I get down there,
that was just like
we'll be buying it. I don't look at it as a jab at the city of New Orleans. I look at it as a jab at the Pelicans and their own.
I mean, to quote another Tom Cruise movie, A Few Good Men, that you've probably never seen, we can play. I can read back that. I can have the court reporter read back the transcript. I know what I said. I don't need it read back to me like I'm some kind of child. I'm just saying, if we played the clip, think what you said was, who wants to be in New Orleans?
As a basketball player.
I'm defending New Orleans. Hey, Big Easy, I love you. And if you don't like what Kevin Wall said, K-Wall 521 on Twitter. Let him have it.
Hey, I can use the notifications on Twitter. Anyway, NFL quarterback Colin Kaepernick finally got a workout with an NFL team. After 6 years out of the league, the Las Vegas Raiders gave Kaepernick a workout, and reports are saying it was pretty impressive. Raiders owner Mark Davis has spoken in support for Kaepernick over the years and said he would welcome him with open arms, although no contract has been offered, at least for now. So, Bill, buy or sell? And me personally, I think Kaepernick will be on a team this season. It's only a matter of time.
Okay, yep.
But buy or sell that Colin Kaepernick will be wearing silver and black by the end of Memorial Day weekend?
This is new. You answered buy or sell before me. I like it. I like the curveball. Sell.
Sell.
Should he? Years ago, yes. Do I think it was ridiculous that he was blackballed from the league? I do. Do I think a guy, as you said, Kevin, that's been out of the league for 6 years, that is way past his prime, that is crazy rusty, is actually going to get an opportunity? I think if folks weren't going to give him an opportunity before, they're not going to give him an opportunity now. I think it's probably about, as I think about it, the Raiders just trying to change the subject over some interesting problems in their front office and turnover in their leadership.
Yeah, and Josh McDaniels already said, even if they do sign Kaepernick, Derek Carr is still going to be the face of the franchise.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any scenario. Yeah, yes. I mean, but like, to be fair, that's like saying water is wet, right? I mean, Derek Carr is the quarterback of that team.
Oh, 124 million reasons why.
Yeah.
But anyway,
of course, you never know what people are going to say. You said that New Orleans is a terrible place and you hate the people of New Orleans. So I don't know.
I'm giving you a lot of hot takes when it comes to movies.
You are.
Being too long, and then New Orleans, you know, I got a lot of love for Louisiana. Maybe
is this
one day
specific to you or generational, people hating cities they've never been to?
Again, I don't have any hatred for the city. I just, if I was a top NBA player and I'm looking at my free agency, New Orleans, I'm sorry, the Pelicans are not on my list unless you offer me an exorbitant amount of money. That's about
well,
it.
Well, I mean, they do. That's how the structure,
no,
as you
I,
know,
I,
is set
I
up
understand
the fifth
that's
year.
How it works. I do understand.
I mean, how do you know? This is reminding me of the time that Stu was producing me. There's a clip in there somewhere. And I go, what's your favorite non-NFL city? And he goes, Oklahoma City is pretty cool. I go, oh, have you been? I used to live there. I go, oh, have you been there? He's like, no. You can't make assessments on cities you haven't been to.
Well, New Orleans is definitely on the bucket list. I'll probably get there in the next year or so. I'll get back to you, okay?
It's like you giving me a movie review on Top Gun Maverick. And I go, oh, you went to Top Gun Maverick? I go, oh, no, never seen it.
But anyway, last week, saying in the NFL, 49ers tight end George Kittle said that Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce is, quote, so underpaid it boggles my mind, end quote. Travis Kelce also responded to it, and he said he's not too concerned about his contract. He just wants to go out and play football. And why not when you're in Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback? Kelce, who's coming off his sixth straight 1,000-plus yard receiving season, he, let's be real, he basically has a team-friendly deal. He signed a four-year, $52 million contract once the 2020 season was about to begin. Buy or sell Travis Kelce? He deserves that payday, or when is he going to get that payday?
Well, so wait, what's the buy or sell? The buy or sell is he deserves the payday?
Yes.
It's hard to buy or sell when's he going to get it, because, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't really fit. Buy or sell He deserves. I'm going to sell.
Sell.
I mean, look, part of what made the Chiefs the Chiefs, and Patrick Mahomes, I know, you know, is a quarter billionaire, but he took a really team-friendly deal. If you're going to move on from Tyreek Hill for cap reasons, you 100% have to move on. You have to not overpay Travis Kelce at the stage that he's at. And I love hearing that Travis Kelce, I'm a huge fan of just his idea that legacy and victory and winning is more important than money. Because it's not like the guy has to choose between $52 million and $52,000, right? I mean, I'm not trying to count other people's money. I'm not trying
to get somebody's wallet. The guy's still getting paid regardless.
100%. So, hold on. So, you don't like New Orleans, but you're a big fan of Kansas City. Can I just tell you about Kansas City? You know they did not win a playoff game from 1993 until I was there for. What year was that? 2017. Well, maybe.
17?
Was it 17? They won a generation, dude. And crazy. Think if we've been like, oh, who wants to go to Kansas City? Sometimes it's about being at a place. And same for the Warriors. The Warriors were the most hapless organization in sports, maybe, until Steph Curry rolled around. New Orleans, I got your back. Got your back against Kevin Wall over here.
Change my mind, Bill. Change my mind.
Yes.
Last one. Last one for you, Bill. The Tampa Bay Rays Stadium, Tropicana Field, it continues to be a disaster and the laughingstock of Major League Baseball. Listen, it's Memorial Day weekend. The Rays are home. They're hosting the New York Yankees, the best team in Major League Baseball. And the fans still don't show up. Heck, even in the empty stadium, it feels like it's more of a Yankee home game. You see more Yankee fans in Florida. The Rays have been good in recent years, and they obviously were in the World Series in 2020 against the Dodgers. However, the fan base still doesn't show up, and it baffles my mind when you have cities like Nashville, Las Vegas.
What does it do to your mind?
It baffles my mind.
I thought you said bagels.
Oh, baffles.
Got it. I was about to make fun of you a lot.
Hey, listen. You got Nashville.
It bagels my mind with cream cheese. Sorry.
You got Nashville. You got Vegas. You got Virginia, you got Charlotte, you got all
these. You got New Orleans!
Fine, we'll give you New Orleans for that one.
You got New Orleans, Kevin Wall!
But I feel like Major League Baseball has to get involved sooner or later. Buy or sell that they will finally get involved and move this team within the next three seasons.
I like this. This is not based on the news. This is just you being mad.
Yeah, it's just me being mad.
Hell yeah! I mean, I don't think, actually, no, but I'm going to buy it. Bye. I'm riding with Wall. It is an embarrassment. I mean, Robert Manfred's terrible at his job, so that's the problem. I'd have to believe in a little bit of competence out of the commissioner's office. Where would you put him? Where's the place to go if Tampa Bay could just snap your face? Other than New Orleans.
It's got to be Nashville. That's the new hotspot on the East Coast. And it's a perfect place to play baseball. It's warm weather. You'll have a fan base there. And same with the Oakland A's. They'll eventually move to Las Vegas. That's my opinion.
How about an outdoor stadium in Vegas? Outdoor ballpark?
You're definitely going to need a dome for that one.
No, outdoor.
Good luck with that one.
Kidding.
I don't see that happening.
No,
but
it's not happening.
I've been to the Trop. I've been to Tampa. I saw the Rays and the Red Sox a few years ago, and it was towards the end of the season, both teams going at it. It was the year that the Red Sox won the World Series in 2018, and I bought $12 seats, and I was down the third base line,
and the seats were
atrocious.
It baggles the mind, which you didn't say, but I wish you had. Did you ever watch Community? Dan Harmon's Community?
I'm gonna get one. That I said yes, I've seen that before.
One of the characters doesn't. One of the characters, Britta, doesn't know how to say bagel. She calls it a bagel. I thought we were having one of those magical moments.
Can I have a bagel with cream cheese?
Yeah, bagels my mind. Let's do Bum of the Week. Kevin's gonna think of some nominees. If you want to nominate somebody, Sports Writer, Sports Reiter, I got a few. Kevin's going to nominate all of New Orleans, which might make him Bum of the Week. No, it won't be Kevin.
You're listening to Writer Than You on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, welcome back into the show. It is Writer Than You here on CBS Sports Radio. Thank you to Kurt Heelan for joining. Thank you to Erica Herskowitz for filling in for Andrew Bogish on headlines. Kevin Wall, the great defender of the Godfather in New Orleans, at KWall521 on Twitter. Stands for 520 ways I'm going to insult New Orleans.
I got 21 to be exact.
21. 521. All right. Let's do this. I'm excited. It's time. It's Friday. Let's do Bum of the Week.
Hallelujah. I'm a bum.
All he's doing is a whole lot of damn nothing.
I'm a bum.
You rotten bum!
I'm a bum.
You're a bunch of bums.
I'm a bum. I'm a bum. I'm a bum.
Who's the bum this week? Let's find out on Writer Than You on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, so many nominees, Kevin. All right, here we go. Dan Snyder's nominee. And look, he could just be Dan Snyder. Right? It could just, that would be enough. But the continued noise around whether or not the owners are or are not counting votes to get rid of him in the face of actual public scrutiny of his finances and the question, the allegations he may have withheld some money from his colleagues, is just a reminder that if the day ends with a Y, if you're in a day and that day ends with a Y, which is every day, Dan Snyder could be bum of the week. So Dan's nominated. I hate this one. Got to be fair here on the show. It's not about who you like. It's about who has taken a bath in that lake we like to call bumdom. It's not a lake. I don't know why I said it. It's weird, but I just got to push through sometimes, Kevin. Jimmy Butler. This guy put up 6 points a couple games ago, looked awful the other day, and the whole, he's injured. Hey, man, the best ability is availability is part of the deal. Jimmy Butler is nominated. I don't know who's in charge of the roof at American Airlines Arena. Is it American Airlines? I don't know what it's called. In Dallas. It's American Airlines in Miami and Dallas, I think. Yeah, it's like two of them. But you only get one arena. That's what they call it in Miami, too. Anyway, the man or woman in Dallas is in charge of the roof. Can't rain onto the floor of a conference finals game. You can't do that. So roof repair guy or roof fix some guy or roof keep the roof, you're nominated, bro. I'm sorry. It's part of the deal. Mark Jackson's nominated because Kevin over here, when he wasn't insulting New Orleans or telling me why The Godfather's too long, just like dropped a poor Mark Jackson. Yeah, poor Mark Jackson. Didn't get the chance to ruin the Warriors for another couple years. Mark, you're just nominated, bro. Also, some allegations came out that are pretty serious about his time, bad culture back in the day. Kevin, do you know who A.O. Scott is?
A.O. Scott.
Do you want to guess? Guess who A.O. Scott is.
Ooh. Can you give me a hint?
No. Well, yeah, he's going to be nominated for Bum of the Week.
Okay. A.O. Scott. I'm going to go with an athlete in some degree.
Okay. Good guess. No. He's a movie reviewer for the New York Times. And I read his review of Top Gun Maverick, and it was so... And I like A.O. Scott. I think he's amazing. But, bro, you don't have to be pretentious about everything. You want to go to a 3-star Michelin restaurant and evaluate it? Evaluate it. But not by the same standards you would In-N-Out Burger. In-N-Out Burger doesn't suck as a hamburger just because it's not some Michelin-rated restaurant where they bring the food out and it's the size of my pinky. And come on. And I went back and I looked because I was offended. The New York Times review of Top Gun, the original, was so, like, it's not very good. It's not going to be lasting. It's not very interesting. Get over yourselves, A.O. Scott. Anyway, A.O. Scott's nominated for Bum of the Week for his review of Top Gun Maverick, which I saw last night yesterday with my kid. Josh Donaldson's nominated for obvious reasons. Suspended now. Has put himself into a situation in which he's been accused of racism. I think I've been pretty clear that it seemed, I don't know, but it seems to me like instead it's stupidity that he's guilty of. But regardless, not a good idea at all on any level. Max Strus is nominated 0 for his last 16. In two, because he hasn't made a shot in two finals games. He's a starter. It's tough. It's a tough one. Kind of want to nominate somebody from the show. I'm not going to nominate poor Kevin. He won me in the break. He's like, dude, nominate New Orleans. They're a bunch of bums. I'm like, Kevin, I can't do that. A, I'm not going to nominate a whole city, and B, I like New Orleans. So that was a little aggressive by Kevin Wall, if you ask me. Could I have a reason to nominate Bogus? I'm going to wait till next week. Bogus might be the bum of the week next week. I'm holding on to that till he's here. Diesel deserves some time off. You know what? It's a little far afield. I get it. But I'm kind of celebrating the return of former greats to glory. I like the nostalgia meets modern-day reality of Tiger winning a Masters again 3 years ago. Of Tom Brady, and this is obviously several years ago, having gone many years without a Super Bowl and then getting another one and another one and another one. I mean, give it up, Tom. But still, you know what I'm saying. Of the Warriors reclaiming their greatness post-Kevin Durant. I'm a huge fan of Top Gun. Being an amazing film. A.O. Scott, reviewer of the New York Times, trying to evaluate that film like it's Citizen Kane, not adjusting your standards to the standard in front of you. Love your reviews usually, pal. But you're the bum of the week, dude.
That's your bum of the week.
I detest you!
On Writer Than You.
Give me a break. There's a line in there that says, if someone tells you it's a great movie, don't believe them. How about we don't believe anything you write for 3 months? How's that sound? Nothing annoys me more than people not adjusting their standards based on what we're... Have you ever been... Well, you've never been out west. You've probably never been to In-N-Out Burger.
Oh, I have. I actually had In-N-Out Burger a month ago when I was out in Texas.
It's amazing. There's an In-N-Out Burger in Texas
now?
Yeah,
in Austin. I mean, everything's in Austin. Austin's beautiful, by the way.
Austin's cool.
I will give a thumbs up to that city. They did.
You don't hate Austin the way you hate New Orleans as a city.
Correct, yes.
Got
it. Love Austin.
How was it in Outburger?
So
how was it?
It was good.
I love an Outburger.
The animal fries, though, not my thing.
Me either. I'm on mustard style. They'll take the mustard and they'll spray them, if you ask, off menu. They'll spray the mustard into the actual meat before they cook it.
Really?
It's
ooh,
amazing.
That actually sounds good.
Mustard style.
So good.
Oh, man. I'm actually thinking about maybe a little. I haven't had an In-N-Out Burger in a while. When I moved back to L.A. from New York City 3 years ago, I'm such an idiot. I went to I just hadn't had an In-N-Out Burger in like 2 years, right? I went to In-N-Out Burger. There was an In-N-Out Burger 3 blocks from the studio, the radio studio. I went to In-N-Out Burger something like 14 of the first 20 days I was back. And then one day I was walking past my mirror and I stopped. I'm like, why is this Jabba the Hutt in my house? Oh, that's me. Wait, what happened to me? Oh, double mustard style again and again and again and again and again with the fries and the shake. It was not, yeah, way too much of my fixin'. You know the expression mixing a salad? I had to mix in anything other than In-N-Out Burger for a while.
Hey, you're still getting your vegetables with the lettuce and the tomato.
That's,
I guess,
just tomato on there? You're right. Pickles?
Yeah, absolutely.
Give me the pickles all day. I mean, that's an amazing thing about just like about invention. You take a cucumber, which I like, and you do whatever you do with it, and it becomes a pickle. Incredible.
Best invention.
Yeah. You don't believe in UFOs. You don't like The Godfather because it's too long, and you hate New Orleans. I'm just saying, but you did a great job on the show, but Kevin, we got to work on you. All right. Kevin's back on Monday. I'm working Memorial Day. Have a great weekend. Thank you for listening. We appreciate you. Go to Top Gun Maverick. It was awesome. Enjoy the NBA Eastern Conference Finals tonight, and we'll see you Monday. Thanks again. I'm Bill Rutter. This is CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.